Welcome to Arguments of a Redneck and a Pastor.
Howdy from the Redneck.
Hello from the Pastor. Well, how you doing this week, Redneck?
Not too bad, you know, just another day. Just looking forward to just another relaxing night. Just chilling with my wife and the dogs. And we're getting some takeout food and stuff. And excited for our episode and what we got coming tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm most excited tonight about introducing the Husky Husker.
Yes, the Husky Husker.
What it do?
What's up, buddy?
Not yeah. Much. So the Husky Husker is going to be joining us on a few of these, right? Like, you're going to be kind of a regular.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to be.
Yeah. Well, we're excited for that because, you know, we all kind of have busy schedules, and we want to make sure we're able to put out some stuff. So every once in a while, if the Redneck can't be here or I can't make it, the Husky Husker will
come to the rescue. Jump.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We would expect nothing less from you. So
exactly.
Oh. Well, anything exciting happened this week, either of you guys?
I'll let the Husky Husker go first if he wants to there.
You know, I mean, watch Nebraska lose again, but, you know.
What's new?
Yeah, what's new?
Hey, you know who won today, right?
Jesus.
I mean, Jesus' team, the Iowa Hawkeyes, won.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, buddy. We beat them Wisconsin Badgers 28-7.
It was a good game, though. I mean, it was close and then not close.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing too exciting. Just trying to get back into the groove of things. And no.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Redneck?
You know, just long week. Trying to work on that hunk of junk Chevy that I was talking about working on, you know. And then looking at a long week this next week, got a lot of overtime, which is rare during the COVID, you know, time. So we're looking forward to that. And it's going to be a long week, but worth it, especially with coming up on the holiday season here.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I don't know about the Husky Husker, but I have had zero redneck moments this week. Like last week I talked about, you know, the chainsaw and my son's stroller. I have not had any of those moments this week. So I've avoided looking like a redneck at all. At least none that I knew consciously. So.
Yeah. I mean, I always look like a redneck. I mean, I walked to work because this last week it was gorgeous this last week and it's only a couple miles to work. So I walked to work, and holy cow, I bet people thought, who is this redneck? Because I'm in my union jacket with my blue jeans and my shoes and with my backpack, you know, cruising along just hiking to work. Ugh.
That was probably a sight to behold.
Only could have been better if he was like cleaning his gun while he was walking to work, you know.
I mean, unfortunately, I live in a city. And I don't think it would be, highly looked upon. That'd be frowned upon, probably.
The police might have asked you what you were doing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially here in Coralville. Yeah, that's, you know, that's not, yeah, no.
They might have asked you what you were doing at gunpoint.
And even for a redneck, having guns pointed at you is not something that I'm sure you enjoy.
No. I'd like pointing guns at my supper. That's what I like pointing guns at. Yeah. That's what guns need to be pointed at as dinner for that night.
So I'm laughing because all I'm picturing is you like standing over like your Thanksgiving turkey. Die! Die! Right.
He's why we never come over to Redneck's house for Thanksgiving. He shoots at the table every time.
Yeah.
Oh man!
Oh,
yeah.
you've got to pick the shot pieces of the shotgun shell out before you eat your turkey at Redneck's house.
That's what we call a little Thanksgiving mini game.
Oh yeah.
Whoever finds the most gets the special Thanksgiving prize, right?
Yep, it's even better than the wishbone, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's the redneck version of a wishbone.
Yeah, that's there right. You go.
Wow.
Oh man.
I'm sorry. Well, that went.
You find the pieces of lead in this turkey, you have 7 years of good luck.
And if you swallow one, a trip to the ER.
One night of horrendous bad luck.
Oh man. Well, I suppose we should probably start talking about our topics for the day.
Yeah. So I have a couple stories here. The first one, I have to say, this one kind of brought me like a come on guys moment. So in Michigan, a judge ruled that companies don't have to serve gay customers. And of course, it comes with the whole thing. This is from CNN, in case anyone wants to go look it up. But the whole thing was, of course, as it always is, that this business didn't want to serve gay couples. I believe there's even mentions transgender individual. Didn't want to serve them on religious grounds. And pretty much this judge ruled in favor that this person didn't have to serve them because it was their religious belief. There's a whole lot more that goes into the story, but pretty much what the story talks about is that, one, they're planning on bringing it to the next court. I don't know why my brain can't think of that word right now. Appealing it. That's the word. Goodness gracious, I'm sorry. They're planning on appealing the decision, of course, but I'd be interested to... I definitely have some opinions about this, but I want to hear your guys' opinions first. So,
You know, my thing is I as my beliefs as a libertarian, you know, that's always something that I have to bring up. It seems like every podcast, but just when we talk about this kind of stuff, it comes up a lot. And you know, my whole thing is I don't think the government should be involved in individual business, because the issue is when the government's getting involved in the individual's business, when you're looking at the bakeries or whatever you want, you know, that in that state, whatever is going to be essentially now able to discriminate against people, which is never a good thing. I mean, it's arguments of a redneck and a pastor, and this is coming from the redneck. I believe that, you know, God is the only one who has that power to discriminate. And I believe that he should be the only one who has that power to judge. And that, yes, you might have your religious beliefs, but that doesn't mean you have to force them on somebody else.
I think that's where I'm at, because, I mean, as of course you two know, that I'm a firm believer in my faith, but I always kind of think of myself as that, like, I don't want to really say a woke person, is that I don't kind of like get, I might get on my soapbox here, but anyway. But anyway,
soapbox away, sir.
My thing is that we have, as Christians, I would say Christians, whatever denomination, really, we have so much bigger battles to fight, like, you know, childhood hunger, human trafficking, and stuff like that, to where we're so focused on the problem, and I don't even want to say problem, of homosexuality or something like that, that it's, I wish we would take the energy that we spent over the last, I would really say, decade of focusing on homosexuals are bad and stuff, and put that energy into stopping human trafficking and stopping childhood hunger and being there for people that actually need the love of Christ. You know, I'm not saying it again. Let me make sure I'm clarifying my statement. It's like, you know, it doesn't mean that homosexuals don't need the love of Christ. I have a lot of gay friends and stuff like that. And the thing I always hear from them is like, why are we not people? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that sadly in this country that, we always tend to just hate somebody. Like, I don't know if that's a generational thing or, you know, or we always have to have a person to hate. And it's just, it's to me, as the person I am and always been, you know, it's kind of sickening because it's just like, it says love one another as I have loved you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Jesus died for our sins and that's what it says, you know? And if he died for our sins, then, you know, why is our sin better than anybody else's, you know?
Yeah. So I agree with that. And well, so I have three things to say. One, it's kind of playing devil's advocate. Like, a sin is a sin is a sin, right? Like that's as simple as it is. Whether you are, whatever the situation is, if you're sinning, you're sinning. We're all sinners. It's just the nature of it. And to say that one sin is worse than another is ludicrous. Now, as people, of course, we see things like murder being a lot worse than, you know, a lie. And on some degree, like morally, yeah, we see that as being worse. But the thing is that they're both still sins. They both still can be covered by the blood of Christ. Yeah, a person who's murdered people may not be ever back in socially good graces, you know. But, I mean, they still have the capability of, you know, turning around. Now, I say that to say I feel, and this is coming from the pastor, I feel the church, now I'm going to come back to this business in a second, but I feel the church has done the LGBTQ community a disservice. And I say that because I feel like instead of showing them the love, showing them that we have a place where they can belong, instead we've shown them that they have a place where we are going to hate, we're going to discriminate them, we're going to show them the door because they are who they are, right? And, you know, look, all three of us are husky guys. Like, we know we called you the husky husker, but like, come on, all three of us are husky guys. Clearly we like our food. So we're all sinning with a little overindulgence, maybe, you know, we could all deal to do without the extra hot Cheetos, you know. Sorry.
I feel personally attacked. Anybody wants to know, any listeners want to know that I was munching on a bag of hot Cheetos before that, and the pastor has decided to just personally attack me.
No, it's not a personal attack.
That's not being Christian abuser.
Wait, it's not, I promise, it's not a personal attack. It must have been like my subconscious, no, man.
And it's like, it's like, I can't, I, because I'm sorry to cut in, but I, that's what I feel like, because I think where my mind's at is I was picked on a lot when I was a kid because of how big I was.
Right.
And to see that hate on another person infuriates me. Like,
yeah, I agree. Yes.
Because I think, again, you feel the personal connection to that, you know, you feel the personal, you feel that attack on that person's attack on you, you know?
Yeah. So, and the other thing, oh, I said I had three things, and I do have three things. One, number two on this is that a business decision, this business owner is stupid.
Right.
I don't have another way of saying it. So there, he is literally alienating part of his,
Your customer base. Right, your customer base. If you can't just get over your personal beliefs, like, I get, we all, like, America is a melting pot. Like, we live in a cultural, like, just smorgasbord of anybody and everybody from all over the world. I get that. And the thing is I'm not saying that you have to necessarily agree with everything. that person says or does. However, what you do have to do is be a human being. Don't be a jerk. Just, you know, have some humanity. And, you know, and if you're a smart business person, you're just going to serve that person and get it done and over with. Don't even think twice about it. Just get your money and get over with. You know, if that's what you're there to do is a business and a job, do your job and don't let your personal beliefs get in the way.
So if your business convictions are that you can't be open on Sunday because you feel your employees need time to go to church, that's one thing. But if your business convictions are that we won't serve anybody who doesn't fit these specific religious beliefs, you're not really showing anyone the love of Christ. And I would venture to say you're not showing what it is to be a true Christian. You're showing what people have. Yeah, you're absolutely showing hatred. But I think you're also showing what almost like a movie Christian, right? Like you see these Christians in movies that are like, here is exactly what the Bible's like. Here is black and white. Exactly like we hate these guys. We love these. And that's not what the Bible says, right? The Bible is about love. Jesus is about love. And that is us showing those who maybe don't fit into our religious beliefs love, because through that love, they're going to see a different side of people that they've not seen in their lives, because exactly what, like the Husky Husker said, they've been picked on, they've been persecuted their entire lives because of it. Anyway, we've ranted on, and I literally forgot my third thing. It was probably just that we need to show these people love and stop being stupid. So,
definitely, I agree with that.
Yeah, like I said, my big thing is we have so much bigger fish to fry. You know, like human trafficking needs to stop, and childhood hunger, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, and I agree 100%. Like, think about this. If you, again, like, we're doing this more for us so we can have a time to talk and stuff. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are a Christian, like, think of the things we could do as a Christian body of believers. If we stopped hating people, we stopped pointing out every other person's sins, and we just put our minds to stopping something like child hunger.
And I would even put a challenge out there, not even just as Christians, as a society, if we would put aside our differences and do, and see, this is the libertarian coming out in me, because I believe in volunteerism. If we would just put aside our differences and help our fellow man, we would be able to put a dent in things like world hunger. Because for instance, the city I live in here, we have just down the street, there's a little, like, it looks like one of those used to be like book library things that people put up, the free libraries where you can drive by and it's out front of somebody's house and, you know, you can pull the books out and stuff. Well, they've turned that into like a little food pantry, and they have a sign just saying, hey, come free, come take it. And that they're just serving a need for our community, because even right now with all the trying times going on. And the thing is as a society, if we just get out of our own shells and just care about our fellow man, and, you know, people say libertarians are all about selfishness, but we're not. We just, you know, we want the government to not be the one controlling everything. We want the people to be able to help the people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to libertarian side of things because I don't necessarily fall in that group category. What I can say is that I would even say, even just go simpler than that. Even if you don't want to help anybody, stop hating people.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I mean, that's about as simple as it gets, right? I mean, anyway. We'll continue. We're going to go from that onto this next story. which is about the execution of Brandon Bernard. And there's a lot of things to dissect with this, but we'll do the Cliff Notes version. If you want more information, BBC has a great article, and you can do see a whole lot of other things. You can probably even go back and find the original trial information and stuff. I couldn't find all of that, but essentially the Cliff Notes is that Brandon Bernard is one of a federal execution that was held here recently from Trump. Trump has continued to do these things. And one of the first things that you almost have to talk about this is that the tradition of presidents when you're transferring power is that these federal executions come to a stop until the next person is in the Oval Office, right? Now, I know Trump is still fighting the election results and stuff, but the reality of the situation is there's a good chance that he's not going to win, right? There's a good chance that all this is going to be for naught. But with that said, all of these things, Trump is literally ignoring what has been, I believe the article said, 130-year tradition of all these get stopped when there's a transfer of power going on. The other thing that comes with this is if Trump goes through with the last, there's, I believe, five remaining executions planned before the transfer of power, he will be the president with the most federal executions in the past century.
Yeah.
Ooh. That to me is insane. Why would you want that to be your presidency? There we go. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, and the thing that's crazy is that literally the first story that I had continues into that same topic, there's Brandon Bernard that they just executed, and the execution of Alfred Bourgeois, who is 56, is the next one that he has scheduled here. And there's also the first woman in 70 years to be executed in the United States by the death penalty by federal is also on there. Alfred was a 56-year-old man, and he was pronounced dead at 8:21 p.m. on December 11th. So this was yesterday.
So they've even got
the day we're recording here. And it's really, it's crazy to see that he's just willy-nilly. And you know what makes me really terrified is seeing this really strong-arm government move from Trump just before this transition of power. It seems really, really strong-armed, and I know that's my anti-government, if I could help it, we would be almost anarchy point,
Oh, God.
Maybe not quite full anarchy, but close to,
In other words, he's saying The Purge, part three.
Well, you know,
coming to the annual purge.
Oh, gosh. Or as the youngest of our siblings says, Detroit.
Good Lord.
not to pick on anyone in Detroit, but I mean this is just kind of a weird thing that Trump is doing. When you're looking at this Brandon Bernard story, though, it goes a lot more than into just him being one of these numbers. So one of the things that a lot of people are bringing up during this case is that Brandon Bernard was 40 when he was executed, I believe this past week. in Terre Haute, Indiana. But he was only 18 when he was convicted of this. I believe he was convicted of murder or conspiracy to commit murder, something along those lines. And he got the death penalty. There are a couple of things that a lot of like these experts and people were bringing up in this article. And one of them was that throughout the trial, he never this couple unfortunately was shot. And he was not the person who was pulling the trigger. His part in this whole thing was that he was the person who ended up lighting their car on fire. Some people think that they were both dead before that happened. Some people think that, some experts were saying that the husband had already passed away, but the wife actually died from smoke inhalation from this. No matter what the circumstances were, this kid was 17, 18 when this happened, right? And the question remains, do you think that during this time that he was capable of change, or that his brain was fully developed? And I don't, or if his brain was fully developed when he was doing this. Now, I don't know, if you're killing people, honestly, even if you have something to do with you're killing people, I don't know. It's hard to justify saying he didn't at least deserve to be in prison, but did he deserve death? I don't know.
Yeah. See, the federal death penalty is one of those things that I kind of go back and forth on. It's one of those things that there's certain people that you hear about their crimes and it's just so sickening to your stomach that it makes you just boil to the point you're like, oh, that person, okay, yeah, I can see why they got the death penalty. But so for instance, the next one that he did execute, Alfred Bourgeois, was 56. And he was a long haul trucker who was convicted of torturing his 2-year-old daughter physically, sexually, and emotionally.
Oh my gosh.
And during a delivery route to a naval air station in Corpus Christi, Texas, beating her to death after she tripped over her potty training seat.
Oh my gosh.
So somebody like that is somebody who, you're like, okay, that kind of a person, that kind of a monster who could do that to a child, okay, maybe I could see them getting the death penalty.
It's those are one of those people, I'm kind of on the fence about the death penalty. But those people, I believe, should just be taken out back and put one in them and good. But that's just me.
Right.
So people like that, I definitely think they need to be in prison. There's no doubt about that. But here's the thing. I think the death penalty all started with this idea, a very biblical principle of an eye for an eye, right? You do something horrific like this, you get something like that. You look at all these things, but even you look at the teachings of Jesus, he says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You look at things like that. As well as the issue with the death penalty, and one of the reasons that now they do lethal injections and they get a different combination of injections, so it's not one person doing it, is that if you're going off of the eye for eye, well, then you look at, okay, now do the people who have to do these things, do the people who push those buttons that, are going to ultimately kill these people, are they now held responsible for that? That's where I think the death penalty is this dark, there's no good answer for the death penalty, especially if you're going off the biblical principle of an eye for an eye, right? If you're just saying people who do this deserve to die, then okay, you can see it however you would see, it to work. I personally, I've never been a huge fan of the death penalty, because frankly, death is quick. People need the chance to live with what they've done, whether that brings them to Jesus and they get to, and they feel legitimate human remorse, or they just are in prison the rest of their lives. I think people need to live with it. But anyway, that's off topic.
It's one of those things, though. Like, for me, I kind of have an issue with it at some points, especially when you look at, I believe in what's called the non-aggression principle. And that non-aggression principle being that as long as you don't aggress upon me, I won't aggress upon you. And the issue with that is, if you are one of those people who are the people pushing the button or pulling the trigger or, you know, pulling the handle or whatever method you want to use, it's that issue of that morality. And, you know, it's, and the other issue is the government being the ones to pull the trigger. And I know I keep going back to that, but I don't think that they should be the ones who get the final say, because the problem is there are so many issues and flaws with our current judiciary system. And our judiciary system, I mean, if you look, there's been people who have been put on death row who have had evidence withheld that would exonerate them, that, you know, eventually comes out and, you know, luckily some of them get saved, but some of them, unfortunately, it's too late. And what do you do then? What if somebody's innocent and they've already been killed? Oops, we killed you. Too bad.
Oh. The Husky Husker is nodding in agreement, I believe. Oh, goodness. Well, anyway, there's a lot of things that go with that. I don't know. I know we talked last time a little bit about, like, you know, when I was that age, I would not have been able to make, like, long-term life decisions. But also at some point, you've got to be held accountable for your actions. I think, yes. What you got, buddy? Oh.
It's all good.
He must have had one too many Mountain Dews.
Quite a few years.
Oh, cranberry juice. I'm sorry, juice.
Sorry, I'm sorry about that.
You're good, man. I thought you were just trying to say something. That's all. Anyway, so at some point in time,
I was getting up to breathe, and it was just like.
At some point, you gotta be held accountable for your actions. Is all I'm saying. But anyway, all that to say, that brings the questions of the death penalties and different things like that. So whatever your opinions are on that, let us know at redneckpastorpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. And I actually, if you go to anchor.fm and look us up there, you can actually click and get to our Facebook page directly. And I'll post some of these links on our Facebook page, so if people want to read some of these articles, they can go back and read some of the articles. And if they want to email us and yell at us and tell us we're completely wrong, go for it.
We'd love to hear from you, even if you think we're wrong.
Exactly. So not to be the morbid one to stay on death with my next story here.
Well, Jiminy Christmas.
I know, but unfortunately, it's really sad because Chuck Yeager, he was the Air Force officer who broke the speed of sound, passed away at the age of 97. He was the U.S. Air Force officer who became the first pilot to break the speed of sound, died. It was this last Monday. So that would have been the 7th. No. Yes, the 7th. He was one of the, you know, tremendous founding, or not founding, but the tremendous pilots who was out there risking his life, and the first one who was able to get us to that speed of sound and stuff. So we're able to thank him for his service. And, you know, it just, unfortunately, it's a really sad to see that he passed away, but it de- definitely, you know, thank him for his service. I don't know what you guys have as far as thoughts or comments on that one.
No, like I said, I mean, I'm a huge Air Force person, you know, and I wonder what that would have been like to break the sound barrier for the first time, you know, and to be, I mean, cause that, I mean, I believe he was a if I remember right, he was a F-4 Phantom pilot.
Let's see. I want to say yes.
And I think I remember watching a couple of his dogfights, but.
I think it was kind of cool because he nicknamed his plane after his wife. It was the Glamorous Glennis.
That's awesome.
So, you know, he's quoted in here in 1968. He said that I sure was apprehensive. When you're fooling around with something you don't know much about, there has to be apprehension, but you don't let that affect your job.
Right.
So, you know, and then just the wisdom that came out of this man just talking about that. And it looks like in 2012, he commemorated the feat by flying in the backseat of an F-15 Eagle as it broke the sound barrier at more than 30,000 feet. So... But yeah, I just kind of want, I saw that and I figured he was kind of an American legend there, and I wanted to give him a tribute, you know, being the redneck, and give that tribute to the red, white, and blue.
Well, no, seriously, that's an awesome story, and like a huge shout out to him, but also a huge shout out to all those people in the armed forces. Like, we can't say thank you enough. Like, you know, we have some people who we consider brothers, who are currently in the armed forces, and huge shout out to them. Huge shout out to all of you guys who keep us safe on a day to day basis. So
yeah, I mean, I work in the aerospace and defense industry, and just seeing some of the products and stuff that we make and doing that, I definitely want our troops to be out there being the safest they can be, and just, you know, be out there. Just thank you for everything you do just to serve our country.
Yeah.
So my next story here, we're talking about Facebook. The Federal Trade Commission has now put a lawsuit against Facebook, saying that it is, which is funny to me because they're the ones who approved them to buy WhatsApp. They're the ones who approved them to buy Instagram, but now they're saying they're too big and now they have to sell off Instagram and WhatsApp.
Oh gosh.
wait, hold up. So let me understand this. So Facebook, who owns clearly Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp now.
Correct.
Right. So the Federal Trade Commission said, yeah, you're good. Buy these things.
Yes.
And now they're going back and saying, wait, no, you're not good. Sell these things.
Yes. It says Facebook has maintained its monopoly position by buying up companies that present competitive threats and imposing restrictive policies that unjustifiably hinder actions or potential rivals that Facebook does not or cannot acquire. The commission said in the lawsuit filed in the federal court in Washington, D.C. So right there, that's the basic premise of their whole federal suit right there, is that they were a monopoly, too big, buying up these companies, putting in these competitive threats and restrictive policies. I mean, okay, I'm not saying, for instance, Instagram, once Facebook bought it, did it get better? Yes, it did. But Facebook had the resources to make it that. Okay, and you know, companies like this are going to naturally grow and get bigger. It's just going to happen. But the thing is they are the ones who approved them to do it. Why did they approve this to then turn around and sue the same company saying you're too big?
Yeah, I mean, that part to me is a little odd. But what I will say is, honestly, I don't know that Facebook is really all that big. Like, I think you know who's on Facebook? Like, everybody's moms and dads. And, like, I think for the most part, like, people post, like, different things that they find interesting on Facebook. It, like, I have not actively used Facebook other than to maybe post pictures of my son in a very, very long time. Like, I think, like...
The thing that also baffles me is, if you look, there are so many other competitors, big competitors coming out right now. There's Parler, there's MeWe, there's all of these other, you know, big ones. I mean, there's Twitter out there.
TikTok,
yeah. I mean, there's all of these other big social medias out there. You don't have to use Facebook. You don't have to use Instagram. And WhatsApp, I mean, I don't even use WhatsApp. I don't even know what WhatsApp is.
Isn't it like, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like a texting thing. Like, it's a internet texting service. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. So it's like the messenger program, except for, like, assigns you like a number, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. I know which one that is.
I could be wrong though.
But yeah, like, the whole thing is like, I get that Facebook has been around as one of the longest and has one of the biggest name recognitions. Like, name recognition, a lot of time, is a huge thing, because if you don't have the name recognition, you're not going to be necessarily out in front of as many people. But the problem is, you know, it's not like they're a monopoly. There's more competition in the market than they're trying to say. Like, how is this going to go anywhere?
Husky Husker, what you got, man?
I just think it's funny that they're like, oh, yeah, you can buy these. And then, wait, you're making too much money. Hold on. Time out. You know, like, I mean, I still believe that the government lets some things get monopolized and some other things not. Basically, you know. It sound like redneck here, but basically whatever they can make the more money off of, they're gonna let have it.
So,
yes, sir.
So hold up. I want you both to take just a step back and think about it this way, right? So, like, if the government's not there to protect monopolies, like, small businesses have no shot, right? You're talking like, you think of, like, we've talked about local mom and pop shops. They can't compete against Walmart. Their prices can't be as low. Nope. They can't. So, like, but if all of a sudden Walmart said, okay, we're going to buy Target, we're going to buy, I was going to say Kmart, but I mean, you know, when do they think? But we're going to buy Target, we're going to buy Best Buy, we're going to buy all these big chain stores. All of a sudden, these mom and pop places would just cease to exist, right? Because there wouldn't be this competition between, like, your bigger companies. Like, so they're kind of fighting each other up here in Nana land up here. And so, like, your Walmart, if they're buying all these things, would then come in and buy a mom and pop shop, because they wouldn't be able to stop them. And if they were able to stop them, nobody could afford their stuff, because Walmart would be able to produce things that, you know, and I say Walmart because they're just a huge corporation. So,
but I think you're underestimating the power of the consumer to walk with their dollar. I think you're underestimating the fact that if you barring all government regulation and in a truly free market where you're not having the government's foot stamping down, you know, preventing a lot of things from happening in a true free market, you're would be able to take, okay, so these guys are getting too big. They're starting to have terrible, you know, sweatshops. They're starting to have terrible labor ethic. They're starting to have, okay, so I, as a, you know, consumer, don't like that. And there's enough people who don't like that. You're saying they can't take their dollars from that company and go support these mom and pops and make these mom and pops bigger and better, and taking the money away from this giant corporation is not going to kill the profits and make them fall to their knees if everybody boycotted them?
All right, let me ask you this. How many people have already said, we hate shopping at Walmart? I'm pretty sure every person in their lives has said that at one point, right? But do you go back to Walmart?
No. Yes. You want to know why? I have not stepped in a Walmart in months. And the last time I stepped in a Walmart was because I was with somebody else.
All right, so
I didn't buy anything.
All right, so first of all, you live in a larger city, right? So you have other options, right? So a lot of our small cities don't have other options. You have Walmart or mom and pop shops. That's what it is. You may hate shopping at Walmart, but they're what you got. So that's what I'm saying, right? Like,
but you just discounted the mom and pop shops.
No, hear me out. Hear me out. So what I'm saying is, if you're going for the absolute cheapest price, right, you're gonna go to Walmart. For the most part, right? So hear me out.
Right.
So these mom and pop shops, if they're going for the cheapest price, don't have a prayer. So all I'm saying is that these big corporations, if they continue to buy and buy and buy and buy, there's you're doing just so much harm to the economy, because eventually, yeah, Facebook might have all these resources, but eventually, or Walmart or whatever big corporation might have all these resources, and they might be able to make something really cool, but eventually they're going to get to the spot where they own everything, and then they're not going to have to they're not going to have to compete against anybody. So they're not going to have to innovate. They're not going to have to progress their company. All they're going to be able to do is say, well, this is what you got, so deal with it.
Yeah. See,
how well, I mean, work? Too, as a former employee of that giant, they target small towns with their Walmarts. You know, they make sure that they go in there and they take over the market. Which at first is like, well, that's kind of, you know, you just, it seems shady. But also then it's like, holy crap, that was a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but their intention is to come into that market and absolutely destroy the competition, you know.
Well, yeah, because if they destroy the competition, then they...
Then they make all the money in that market.
Right, yeah.
Right. Anyway. I'm all for people making the money and, you know, doing the best they can in their lives. But the my problem is when there's so many regulations and things standing in the way that it prevents, you know, these mom and pop shops from getting bigger and, you know, from people walking away from companies like Walmart and stuff, because Walmart has secured, you know, whatever lobbyists in Washington to go lobby for them. And you're laughing at me, but I'm being serious. You know, that's the thing is you're telling me Walmart doesn't have lobbyists? I guarantee you Walmart pays for lobbyists up at Washington.
I'm sure they do, but I think that the point was is at some point in time, right? My point was is if your companies get too big, like if your Walmart gets too big or Facebook gets too big, the point is eventually you're going to stop competition. And once you stop the competition, then you're going to stop the innovation, right? Like, I think that's really my point. The minute you stop competition, you stop innovation. So sometimes, right, like I said last time, we need the government to play the big bad boogeyman. Now, do I think this Facebook thing is one of those moments? No, I think this is stupid. I think this is them going like, hey, we let you do this now. And second thought, we're actually going to make you go back and forget about what we said before, right? But what I am saying is that we need the government at times to be the big bad boogeyman. I'm just saying that. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to just agree to disagree on that one today, because we will spend 10 more hours on there, and I don't think nobody wants to listen to us argue about that one for 10 hours.
Yeah, well, that's why it's called arguments, right?
Right, exactly.
Anyway, well, I got one for you and the Husky Husker here. We're gonna move on to our Florida, the Florida man moment. I did want to say just one thing about this. Don't drive drunk. That's not funny. But the story with this is, I don't even know. if I was the cop, how I'd react to this. But essentially, so what happens is this cop pulls over this gentleman for driving drunk. He pulls him over and he's doing his sobriety test. You know, I'm sure it has something to do with, like, say, your ABC backwards, which I'm just saying, I don't drink and I find that extremely hard. I can only imagine being impaired going, what comes after Z, you know?
I've been pretty drunk myself, but see, the problem is ooh, I can't even say my alphabet backwards. Sober, man.
Z Y 4 27.
There's a squiggle in there.
wing ding.
Turquoise, yeah, exactly.
Fuchsia. Did I get it right, officer?
Well, anyway, so I'm sure he's doing this, and all of a sudden, the cop sees a wallaby and a lemur escape from the guy's truck.
Why?
I want a wallaby.
I had to laugh at this because the site that I saw this from literally said, tough times for the former tough times for the former educational stars, the Boomafu, as he's found on the run in Florida, of course.
Good Lord.
So, oh, yeah,
poor Boomafu. Man, I know.
Who could it be? This Florida man who I do see.
Yeah, so anyway, so Zaboomafu was found with his drunk owner, and of course there was a wallaby there too, so yeah. Anyway, I had little to no words for that one, but
I mean, you know, I'm one of those kind of rednecks. Unfortunately, my beautiful wife will not allow me to have all of the pets that I want, and my apartment complex would not like it. You know, but
are you trying to get a lemur and a...
Oh, I would have a lemur and a wallaby. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean,
it's a wallaby. went over to the redneck's house and saw a wallaby.
I mean, I would be the cool uncle, like. All of my nephews and nieces, you know, they would all be able to come over and have a petting zoo. Wouldn't that be the Uncle Redneck's petting zoo?
Yeah. We went over to see the Uncle Redneck's petting zoo, but then he shot. Oh my gosh, let me try that again. Went over to see the Redneck Uncle's petting zoo, but he shot my mac and cheese. So, you know.
Why would I shoot the mac and cheese? I mean, see, the petting zoo also doubles as a live kill and feed. So then.
Oh,
then,
no, don't go. No. You're not shooting Zaboomafu.
No, Zaboomafu's safe. I'm talking the deer and stuff.
Zaboomafu is never safe.
I mean, not with this Florida man, clearly, because he was driving drunk.
No. So, moral of the story, don't drive drunk. And if you are driving drunk, make sure your animals are, you know, securely in your vehicle. Yeah. Oh, anyway, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the show.
Is that the end?
What's that?
The end.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's probably by the everyone at this point is probably already gone. Like, why did I waste my time with this? But
these idiots talking on the other end. Oh man.
And they drug a poor other guy into this. What was he thinking?
Oh man. No,
that's the problem. They weren't thinking.
We're going to get in to some conspiracies here. We're ready for the redneck conspiracy corner here. All right. So this week, there is the former Israeli space security chief is claiming that aliens are real and that President Trump knows about it. And he is claiming that they meet with the Galactic Federation of Mars under the surface of Mars.
Okay, first of all, my thing is, why didn't I get an invite? Two, right. Do we have starships? And three, is he coming back?
Right?
I have so many questions. I have so many questions.
Oh, man. And I mean, Trump, if Trump knows about it, then we have to have some sort of hidden starship somewhere. And the thing is if they're going there to be a part of this intergalactic federation, they're a part of the Galactic Federation in an underground base in the depths of Mars where our American astronauts and alien representatives meet together as a Congress. And they say that they don't want to release information in order to prevent mass hysteria. I'm
speechless over here. Speak for a living, guys. All I can say from this, Twitter will soon tell us.
Right. I think that would be something he retweeted.
Yeah, for sure.
And the other thing I have to say is, I wonder if he's met any people like who were big into, experimenting with things in the 70s, like Matt, maybe mushrooms.
I mean, there are states where that is legal now. I mean,
I mean, look, if he's in a state where it's legal, or if it's legal, you said this is in
Israeli? Yep.
It's Israeli. If he's a, if it's legal there, man, that's whatever. But maybe your top officials shouldn't be joining in.
I'm all for it, man, though. Like, these aliens, if we can communicate with them, see, and it all ties in with my monolith. I told you, man, aliens. The monolith from last week, I told you, was put here by aliens. Did I not?
You're
and
right.
Now,
you did tell, you told me.
Are we sure that the monolith isn't just a 5G tower?
I mean, maybe the aliens made 5G is an alien technology. That's what
breaking
it
news.
Is.
Breaking news, aliens outrunning Verizon Wireless.
I mean, isn't there
they're taking your money.
Isn't there a lizard people conspiracy? Doesn't that aren't they aliens? Alien lizard people aliens?
Here,
so
this is what happened.
Go ahead.
This is what happened. We couldn't contact the aliens until we got 5G. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Okay. That's and the monolith is a amplifier to be able to contact even better with this Mars Galactic Federation. That's why we have all of these influx of all these video companies, right? All of these video chatting companies is just, that's their antenna, and that's they're showing them their Mars base.
Exactly.
Oh man, it's not very often I'm a pastor this speechless.
I got nothing, man. I got nothing.
Oh man!
Again, all I can think of is the same meme from last week with the dude with the crazy hair going aliens.
Aliens and 5G.
That's right.
That's what happens, folks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, so I have a couple of saving humanity moments this week. I wanted to put in two of them. Because One of them is only if you're a giant nerd will you find it exciting or think that it's in any way saving humanity. But the first one is that Harrison Ford will be in the next Indiana Jones, guys.
Oh, that excites me because I am a Harrison Ford. Like, I am a fan of him.
Get off my plane.
Oh, man. The Indiana Jones, that whole series is my all-time favorite series. Like, if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie series, it's going to be the Indy series. And for him to still be Indy, it just makes my heart happy, man. This redneck couldn't be happier than if I had to dip a Copenhagen in. Look.
So,
if I didn't have my Diet Coke in the fishing pole, you know what I'm saying?
No, no, it's that Busch Light in the fishing pole. Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's fishing with dynamite, y'all. He's just...
Man, they frown upon that stuff. I live too close to too many people.
They don't like it when I take all
explosives to kill fish. It's frowned upon in this establishment.
They don't like it. No, they
see. My thought is the redneck's probably thinking to himself, they just don't like it when I take all their fish.
There you go. That's what it is. They're just jealous.
Something called laws here, I guess I have to follow.
This guy came over and said he's going to give me a ticket. I said, to what show?
Oh, I'm always down for a concert. Is there going to be some bangers?
Is it going to be dropped? Is the show going to be playing Johnny Cash? Because I don't want to go unless it's Johnny Cash.
I'm going to come over and take that soundboard away from you.
Well, so that was my first Saving Humanity story, whether you like it or not. I know my good friend, the Husky Husker, had a podcast for a while about movies, right? So what are you thinking about that?
You can't have Indiana Jones without Harrison.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you can't have Iron Man without Robert Downey, you know.
That's true.
And so I think, is he getting old? Yes, you know, and can he still act as Indiana Jones? We'll see.
Yeah, well, I agree. The Indiana Jones series had me all the way up to the very end of the fourth movie. If they could just cut, like, the last 10 minutes out of the fourth movie and redo it, I'd be okay. Well, the last Saving Humanity moment is actually one that is really cool, and you know, I've got to give props to Florida for once here. This gentleman in Florida decided that he was going to help those less fortunate than him who had been affected by the coronavirus, and he paid off 114 past due utility bills for those who were going to have their utilities shut off. This is a Florida businessman. And he pretty much, when I said this, he pretty much said, these people can't afford to pay bills. They can't afford to put food on their tables. So he's hoping by doing his part and paying some bills for these folks, it takes a little time, takes a bit of stress off around Christmas time. And I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, that's one of those things that it's always amazing when people have more than they need when they can give back to their community around them. And that's that volunteerism I've been talking about in action right there. Is he saw there was a need in his community. I have more than I need, you know, to meet my basic needs so I can help other people out. And if more people, I mean, not that you have to give something, but even just giving time sometimes or just listening to somebody. And if more people were to take time for other people, I think our society would be so much better.
Right. Because that's where I really started before I was really a huge believer is volunteering, you know.
Yeah.
Helping your fellow man and kind of the hand to man, heart to God type theory, you know. And
yeah.
Why can't it be that way? Like, why do we have to? That's like, again, that, you know, when you had kind of invited me to this podcast. I was like, oh, it's kind of like a political podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely loathe politics because of the divisiveness, you know, that it causes in the country.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm not what you would say, oh, a tree hugger, you know, like, oh, peace, but, you know, there has to be necessary things for peace to happen, you know, mm-hmm. But why can't humans, you know, why can't humanity be better than we are?
Yeah.
In the last, you know, and I mean, you can say in the last 4 years with who we had as president, but I mean, we've seen a decline in just common courtesy and respect for mm-hmm. probably, I would say about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm 32, so, you know, I kind of saw the climb of hatred as I was coming out of my teens, you know, but I hope to one day see a humanity that actually cares for the person next to them. And I mean, they always say, oh, well, there is humanity and the media doesn't cover it. No, I've been through many of towns and many, you know, just walking through stores and hearing hate spewed, you know,
yeah.
And it's, you know, we can do better.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think that's probably part of the reason why we just so badly, like, we wanted to do something. This podcast is fun for us just to talk about and kind of, you know, we say arguments, but like one of the things that we want to make sure that we're coming across is that even when we are quote unquote arguing, like we're trying to do it out of the most respectful way, right? Like we're not ever going to like call each other like names or anything like that. I mean, other than maybe like jokingly, like, you know, I'm pick right. on him for being redneck, but you know, seeing things like this where people are just stepping up and taking care of their fellow man is just awesome. And it didn't matter to this gentleman that if they were Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian or a redneck or a pastor or a husky husker, didn't matter to this gentleman. He just wanted to do something. So he stepped up, paid some bills for people who couldn't do it. And like that's what we need. We need people to step up, take care of one another. And we need people to stop defining you, stop defining others by their political party, stop defining others by their race, stop defining who someone is by their religion, stop defining people, stop putting a defining people by just all these things that are external. Like, define people, take the time, get to know them, define people by who they truly are.
Yes, exactly. I 100% agree with that. You know, the thing is people need to not put people into a box. The second you put people into a box and think, oh, you're this stereotype, is when we get this divide of what has happened in our country over this last election cycle. The problem is everybody's put everybody into a box of you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. And then they think that those of us who are libertarians are just insane. But I mean, not that they're wrong. Some of us are insane, but that's a story for another day. But you know, the thing is if we just focus on what makes us and our community better, our society can just grow and be just that much better.
So. Absolutely. Well, with that, we should probably start wrapping this down. We've been talking at you for a little while now. If you have anything in here that you think we got wrong, or have anything you want us to talk about, let us know at redneckpastorpodcast@gmail.com. Husky.
Oh, man.
What was that, Husky Husker?
What was that, Husky Husker? I said, or you can either email us or call our moms.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Specifically call the Husky Husker's mom. Let her know.
I mean, we should probably, if we want that, she can be our complaint department.
That's right.
She'll field those calls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's, We also reach out to us on Facebook as well. We're out there on Facebook. Like I said, I'll post up some of these articles on there. So if people want to read and look at some of the videos and articles and stuff, we'll get those out there and stuff. Bear with me. It might be a little bit of delay from when the episode gets put up to when the articles get put up, because I do work full time and doing overtime right now. So it might be a little delays for some of the articles, but I'll get the podcast out here, our episode, and we will we'll definitely be out there for that.
Yeah, and remember, the Facebook page is capital R dot capital N pastor. Or no, what is it again? We're trying to remember this. Our Facebook page is a little bit different because Facebook doesn't like it when you say redneck, apparently.
Yeah, Facebook does not like redneck. So in our title, they would not let me put redneck. So I had to do R period N period. So it's arguments of an R period N period and a pastor. Or if you go to Anchor, if you go to Anchor FM and find /arguments of a redneck and a pastor, there is a button that will take you directly to our Facebook page as well.
All righty then, everyone have a great week and stay safe.
Yep.